Hey everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is episode 31 of season 7. We've been doing this show an assload of years. That's right. Almost, I don't know, I can't do math and percentages, but quite a while. I was going to try to figure out how much of my life, what percentage of my life we've been doing this, and I can't do it. I'm not good at math. Joining us this week, we're going to be speaking with Dan Carroll, who is the Director of Media Engagement for Dragon Con. It is less than a month away, and there's all sorts of people coming to Dragon Con that you might want to see, and there's all sorts of things you're going to need to know if you're planning on going down this year. Not on me, but to Dragon Con. I don't want dragon pox. We will talk to him in a little bit. We also have a game. Steph came up with a game, and we're going to play Lost Boys Trivia in honor of what?
The Lost Boys 35th anniversary was this week.
Damn, we are old.
And so the boys are lost men now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the ones that are still with us.
We still got left. Yeah, a lot of them are gone.
Diane Wiest is still alive, right?
Yeah. It's Diane Wiest.
But not the guy there. What's his name? Ed Herman?
Edward Herman and Corey Haim.
Yeah. Edward Herman, of course, played... who did he play? He played FDR in Annie, the movie version of Annie.
Mm-hmm. He's Lorelai Gilmore's dad.
Is he?
On Gilmore Girls.
Not anymore.
I'm going to assume Grandpa's probably not with us anymore either.
Be the TV guide. You don't need a TV.
No, I imagine he's been dead a long time. Not to be so blunt. Before Dan joins us, I want to tell you that I host a radio show that's also a podcast. It's a weekly show on WSB Radio that you can hear at 7 p.m. if you live in Atlanta at 95.5 WSB FM, WSBB FM, or 7:50 a.m. if you're inclined. If you don't have a radio, as most people these days probably don't, you can listen on the WSB app. It streams. And you can listen.
You don't have to worry about some board op screwing up your show.
Now, the board op didn't screw up the show. Things happen. Board op did not. In fact, George Clark, who is the board op for the Von Essler Doctrine, he does traffic on the weekends, and he was there and able to fix it for me. This week, I'm doing it live. Oh, by the way, my guest was... Dave Willis, who we've had on this program a number of times, talking about Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the DVD box set, the Baffler meal with every episode from every season and the movie and a bunch of extras, comes out on September 20th. So if you have $100 and some to spare and you want something on DVD, I highly recommend it. And
Carl
so
was on fire.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, that was great.
It was fun because when he was done riffing, he goes, "That was dumb." I go, no, that was not dumb. I got personal Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode on my radio show, which I thought was.
That was the most I heard Carl like in one like stream for like minutes and minutes on end. I was like, wow, this is like deep Carl.
Aaron Judge couldn't carry Derek Jeter's jockstrap.
If I could do Carl, I would just do Carl all the time. I wouldn't even use my regular voice.
I would
just be Carl.
Hey, how you doing? And he did a little Meatwad.
Yeah, Meatwad was cool too.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have Meatwad on a bun on the cover of the box. And of course, Meatwad has never been on a bun. He's not on a bun. He's just meat.
Yeah.
There's so much I could have spoken to him about, but my show is only, when you take out the commercials, 35 minutes long. So hopefully that'll be stretched out someday, much like I've been over the weekend. So
a big boy someday, Timmy.
Check it out. It's called The Popcast, and you can find it on your favorite podcast, Podcatcher. Let's see, this week, which is today, tonight, if you're in Atlanta or wherever, because you know you can listen anywhere, you will find me and Greg Russ, who is joining the show. Greg Russ, who's been on this program. Also, he's the co-host of One Topic with Autumn Fisher and also a member of the Von Hessler Doctrine. Sorry for all the plugs, guys, but we are speaking to an interesting fellow by the name of Don Randy. Do any of you guys know who Don Randy is?
No.
Dustin, I thought maybe you might.
Porn star?
No.
Are you related to the Amazing Randy?
No. Don Randy was in the Wrecking Crew. Do you know what the Wrecking Crew was?
Oh, wrestling.
No.
No. Musician.
Wrecking Crew are a group of musicians that played with Elvis. They played on Pet Sounds, the Beach Boys, Simon and Garfunkel, the Carpenters, Nancy and Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, the Jackson 5, Linda Ronstadt, Sammy Davis Jr., Glenn Campbell, the Monkees, Sonny and Cher, and a lot more. Don Randy was in the, he played piano in the Elvis 68 comeback special, which aired on NBC. And he is coming to Atlanta to perform at Eddie's Attic on Saturday, August 17th. So it's called Elvis One Night With You. Don Randy is a member of the band, and we're going to talk to him about the Elvis movie, performing with Elvis. And since it's Elvis focused, it'll probably be mostly about Elvis. Okay. The singer for that show, the guy's name is Dwight Eisenhower, not Eisenhower, Eisenhower. And he wasn't the president of the United States in the 50s. He's not an Elvis impersonator. He is the official Elvis tribute artist champion that is associated with Elvis Presley Enterprises. So that's pretty cool. And I watched some videos of this guy on YouTube. He's amazing. He kind of looks like him. You know, you put the jumpsuit on and the wig and of course you're Elvis, but his voice and his singing voice nails it, because there's a lot of guys that can do the impression or whatever and do the movements and everything. This guy actually physically becomes Elvis, so that's pretty cool. So if you're into that sort of thing, tune in the tonight or whenever, or Monday on the podcast, and have fun with it and go to the show. If you want tickets, go to eddiesattic.com. Elvis One Night With You, 7 and 9:15 p.m. Wednesday, August 17th. And the tickets are pretty reasonable, $35 or $59.50. So again, eddiesattic.com. Elvis, One Night With You. Now, on with our show. Sorry to keep blathering on.
I was going to say, you know, one of the ladies I work with, she goes to, they follow, they're in this crew. They go to all these Elvis conventions. This is like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge network of people that go to these things. And they have a guy, he's an impersonator that they are sponsoring. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that you can do, and they make sure that they help him at his shows, and he, you know, he does all these competitions and stuff like that. But anyway, she'll probably be at this thing, I'm quite sure.
That's awesome.
She sings at a lot of the stuff, like she's, it's every, they have a thing like once a month.
There's really in Atlanta or just all over?
All over. Yeah, she they drive all over for these things.
Well, I would like to go, but again, I'll be in Boston, so I won't be able to go. But anyway, I encourage everybody to go. I haven't seen the Elvis movie. Have any of you guys seen it yet?
Oh, you know I saw it. I told you it was crap.
Right. You said it was crap. That's right. Sorry, I have a bad memory. Greg Russ will be interviewing him with me. Don Randy with me. He saw it and loved it, but I have a feeling that I'll fall somewhere in the middle. You can't talk. No. Kurt, who's a Kurt Russell who played him?
In that old TV one, movie. Yeah.
The TV movie where he shot the television in the hotel room.
You'll like his performance, but you'll hate the movie. I guarantee you will hate it.
Tom Cruise probably wrecks it with his terrible accent.
Tom Cruise?
I'm sorry. I always get those two confused because they're so similar. Tom Hanks.
Yes, he does wreck it. But there's a lot of very social justice. Lots.
Really? In an Elvis movie? Why?
Well, because because so many years people overlook the fact that where he got all of his inspiration from.
Mm-hmm.
So they really try to hammer that home. Hammer it. Hammer it hard.
The first person to point that out to us as Gen Xers was Chuck D. Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me. You see, straight out racist. That sucker was simple and plain. Motherfuck him and John Wayne.
So they tried to make you understand that, or make you believe that he wasn't racist, but at the same time, let's give the props that he never did.
I don't think Elvis was a racist person. I think he was a person who was from the South, but also had reverence for musicians and singers. So I don't know why they have to compensate for the fact that he stole, he made Hound Dog a hit globally, but it was a hit before he sang it.
Well, they try to make him out like he was the Eminem of the 50s is how they portray him in this movie.
Okay. Really? So he's, I'm on 8 Mile. I'm on 8 Mile.
Yeah, like, well, he's only hanging out with black people on Beale Street and all this other stuff. And it's like, was he? But then they show him the rest of the movie. There's no black people in his crew. None.
Not in his van, no.
Well, that was Colonel's doing, I'm sure.
None in his house.
Elvis, we can't have you hanging out with the black man. Stupid. If Elvis had lived, man, he probably would have lost weight in the 80s and gone on a revival tour, you know, of his old stuff, and he would have had a multiracial band. You know he would have. You know, I can't hire no white people. I got enough white people to play with me. I don't want anybody but white people.
No, he had soul singers back him up.
Uh-huh.
He definitely had soul singers back him up. But I'm just saying, like, they tried to make it out in the movie like he would go down to Beale Street and he was the only white dude on Beale Street hanging out in all these black clubs because, you know, he wasn't supposed to be there because you're not supposed to mix ems back then. They didn't like a mix em ups.
What about Mark Cohn?
Most of the time.
Mark Cohn was allowed to walk on Beale Street.
I
wasn't allowed to touch it. Huh?
I don't know. I just
walking in Memphis, walking with my feet 10 feet off of Beale. See, they wouldn't let him walk on the street.
I just predict you will not like it.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot anyway.
You'll like his performance, though. His performance is great.
Don't say spaz. Beyonce got in trouble for saying it on her record.
Oh, well,
you'll talk about it now, but you won't talk about it when Lizzo got in trouble for it.
Well, I like Lizzo more than I like Beyonce. To tell you, when it comes to Beyonce, I liked her girl group. What was that called? Destiny's Child.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her in Austin Powers 3, The Search for Spock. But I think all this is marketing, because now Monica Lewinsky wants her to take her name out of a lyric from like 10 years ago or something.
2004, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Can you please take my name out of your album?
Oh, my God. The Beehive will come for her.
Oh, Jesus. Because popular culture started calling blowjobs Lewinsky's. So that's the line in the song, like, she Lewinsky'd all over me or whatever, like jizzing on a dress or something. Look, you suck the president's cock.
That's all you're known for.
Allegedly. Yeah, well,
be happy.
Allegedly. She had jizz all over her dress. Whose jizz was it?
she brought the dress. It's like, there's no allegedly to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save this jizz because I may need to use this someday.
So
that was Linda Tripp's jizz.
Yeah.
Ooh. She does look. If anybody, if there was any lady that could. Why are we doing this before Dan comes on here? Now stop.
Dan's having trouble connecting.
Yeah, he's not connecting right now.
Important to know that Monica Lewinsky wants to now take an 18-year-old song and have a lyric removed because it upsets her. Listen, you're famous. You're famous. Why are you famous? Why are you famous? Because you gave President Clinton a blowjob. And then you made some handbags and you dated Tom Green. Other than that, I don't know anything about her. Do you?
No.
No, that's about it.
Yeah. Hung out with Tom Green, sold handbags, gave President Clinton a blowjob.
Hey. I mean, look at that mouth. What else is it good for?
Allegedly.
Now, I am not. That was the woman on the show who said that, not the man. There's a lot of people who did it. She's good at making handbags. She's good at hanging out with Tom Green. She's good at being on television.
She's serviceable at giving a blowjob.
No one said it was great. She has a very big mouth.
All I can say about Monica Lewinsky is based on my experience with seeing her on television, hanging out with Tom Green and making handbags. That's all I know. And I guess she's on social media. Look, your fame comes from what you did. And that's all it is. I mean, people don't remember Fawn Hall. You remember Fawn Hall?
Doll of the North Trials?
Yeah. they called her a bimbo or whatever, but she got famous because she was pretty and she was a secretary for Oliver North during the Iran-Contra hearings. Do you remember the name of the lady that Gary Hart banged on his boat monkey business?
Donna
Rice. The one he killed?
He didn't kill anybody. Donna Rice. Donna Rice. Why did she get famous in the 80s? She was getting banged by a presidential candidate on a boat. Dan Carroll, welcome to the show. Dan, if people don't know, and we talked to everybody at the beginning of the show and told them, but you are the director of media engagement with Dragon Con, and Dragon Con is, wow, less than a month away, September 1st through September 5th, 2022 in downtown Atlanta. Dan, tell us what we can expect to see this year.
Well, for those of you who were able to make it last year, you know that despite pandemic concerns, we were able to get a really good show on. We had an amazing guest list, just like we have this year. We have all the panels that you enjoy. We spaced them out a little bit. And we are bringing those all back with no COVID restrictions on our panels. And we are, except for the COVID restrictions for the show, which we'll get to later. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we're really excited about is the parade is back and the excitement is building. We're looking now for about a 50% boost in attendance from last year. That brings us to about 60,000. And that's still very shy of where we had been before the pandemic at 85,000. But that also has given us benefits. So there's a little bit more elbow room than folks had been used to.
Are they doing anything with the parade this year as far as memberships only to watch the parade?
No, we are having the parade. And if there's any adjustments that come up regarding the parade, those will be announced later. We have just let you know we're having the parade, and of course we're always encouraging everybody to enjoy the parade from the comfort of their own home on CW69, which is broadcasting it live in the morning and then rebroadcasting it at night, which is how we've normally done it, and I assume that's the same for this year.
And they put on a good show too. They show like everything in the entire parade.
They do, and they've got a great location. They're broadcasting live from the Peachtree Street Bridge over 8575. It would be really ineffective if they were doing it on the Peachtree Street Bridge just over 85,
right?
Because there's not actually a parade there. But they're hitting the start of the parade. They've got really good camera angles, good coverage. And in the past, some other local folks have also been web streaming it, plus DCTV, our own television network, going 22 years strong, I think, this year. And they've been the heroes of our virtual convention. They're going to also be broadcasting it live from front of the Hyatt Regency.
Nice.
Nice.
I want to go back to Tim's original question. What can we expect this year? One of the biggest changes this year is that historically gaming has been in building one of America's Mart, which is great. It's convenient. It's right across the street. But we have we've found better accommodations, especially since America's Mart is doing some renovation, and it would have limited our gaming space. So we've moved to building 3, which is a block and a half from building 1. So it's not that far. It's catty corner to building 2, where we have our comics, pop art alley, and our vendors. So the gaming's going to have more space. We're still going to continue our gaming programming, which is the panels about gaming. That is still going to continue to be in the Westin, very convenient to the gaming spaces. But that's the big, big change we got going on right now.
And we're selling individual day passes this year as opposed to
And I recommend everybody in Metro Atlanta get your passes early, especially if you want to take advantage of Saturday, which is probably the most popular day. And we're still limiting the passes for individual passes, but get them early, get them online, www.dragoncon.org. It's a good way to make sure you can see the show for the first time if you've never seen it before, or maybe you want to make sure that you're keeping everything safe. You just want to go for a shorter period of time. Those one-day passes are a great way to enjoy the show without having to make the investment for the whole weekend.
Are you having the ball?
We're going to have a lot of balls.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we have, I want to say, about 15 dances over the course of the weekend. Which ball did you mean?
I meant like the big one that you have. I think it's on Saturday night. Like there's one with it's like the costume contest or whatever.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Got it. Okay. So we have the balls, which are dances. They're like high school dances.
Nice.
With cash bars. They're like open high school dances with cash bars. And we also have, I want to say, six significant costume contests. We have the Friday night costume contest, which is 100% technical skill. The person comes out in the costume, they spin around, they're judged completely on the quality of their costume. Then we have the masquerade, which is Sunday night.
That's what I meant.
Apart from the parade, I think it's our most popular event. And the masquerade, you come out with your costume, but you have to put on an act.
Mm.
And without a doubt, some of them are very serious, but most of them are pretty hilarious. And this year we have, again, Eddie McClintock from Warehouse 13, absolutely hilarious guy. And he's going to be hosting with DragonCon's own Tony Gowell, again, absolutely hilarious guy. Do you guys know Tony?
I saw him last year on Dragon Con TV dressed as his character that was the black and white lady.
Yes, that was not actually planned. He dresses from WandaVision. He dresses Agatha in black and white. Fantastic. Tony is absolutely wonderful. He actually runs our Dragon Con office, but he also does a lot of our moderating for bigger panels. He's got a broad experience. He was on The Walking Dead as the zombie in a pit.
Oh, that was him.
That was his acting career. Yes. I mean, he's done other things other than that, but him and Eddie McClintock play off each other so well. They've known each other for years. So the masquerade is happening. Plus we have other costume contests, Star Wars, specific, a Star Trek specific. We've got the hallway costume contest where our photographers go through Dragon Con and take pictures of really cool costumes. And they might not be the competitors. They might just be the simple costumes that our fans put together who are not looking for the competition. They're not either considering themselves at that level, but then online, our Dragon Con attendees get to vote and pick the winner.
Oh, very cool.
So that's costumes.
What time can you tell us what time the technical costume contest on Friday night? What time does that usually start?
I want to say probably both of them are at 10. Both of the costume contests, but I might be wrong, because for those of you who've been to Dragon Con and have stayed at Dragon Con, there's a thing called time dilation that occurs. You're there for five, six days straight. For us volunteers. So the best thing to do is the Dragon Con app will have all of that laid out, and that's available for download now, but this full schedule won't be available until about 10 days before Dragon Con.
Now, last year you guys did a lot of online video. You did, covering all the panels and everything else. Is that still going to be available for those that can't make it to the actual event?
That's a fantastic question. And actually, that was one of the things I was going to try to weasel in our conversation. And yes, remember I said earlier that DC TV has done such a great job with our virtual convention. We had it 2-3 years before the pandemic, but man, they really shone during the pandemic, being able to produce so much content with our different tracks and our guests who were virtual guests. So we're going to continue that, but we have it at a very reasonable price of $10 a membership, and you can add it on to your existing membership, or you can get it online at dragoncon.org.
Some of the things that I like to do at DragonCon, I'm always like the person who wants to go see all the celebrities and the famous people and the people who've been entertaining me for decades and decades, or, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years. I want to read off some of the folks that have been added or that are on the list that I'd certainly like to see, if you guys will indulge me. Do you mind?
No.
Please. Yeah, go ahead.
You have this year, if you're a fan of the Flash Gordon movie from, I think it's 1980, right? With the Queen soundtrack, Flash. Two people from that movie, Melody Anderson, who played Dale Gordon, and Sam J. Jones, who played Flash Gordon. They're both going to be there. So that's pretty exciting to me. Quite a contingent of Star Trek performers throughout the decades, all the different versions of Star Trek. William Shatner, of course, will be there. Anthony Rapp, Walter Koenig. Michelle Hurd, who is on Picard. Also, I was a huge fan of her on Law and Order SVU when she was on the first seasons, and then she came back later. Wilson Cruz is going to be there. Now, he's playing... he's not Captain Pike. Captain Pike is...
Who's that? Now.
Yes, he's going to be there. So if your particular brand of Star Trek is fully represented at Dragon Con 2022, and you can meet them and talk to them and get an autograph, maybe get your picture taken, just go down and walk the walk of fame. And then just some other random, I'm not picking anybody because I like them better than anybody else, but Marina Baccarin from Firefly, Serenity, Deadpool, The Flash, Gotham, Homeland. She was in the first couple seasons of Homeland, if you were into that show. Wes Chatham, who I believe is from Georgia, and he was in The Expanse, and also he's in The Hunger Games: Mockingjay, but I think he's from Atlanta or the area.
I'm pretty sure he is, yeah. Originally.
You have Tom Cavanaugh from Flash, Scrubs, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow. Holly Marie Combs.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
You mentioned Tom Cavanaugh without mentioning one of my 5 favorite TV shows of all time.
Okay.
He was Ed.
Ed.
He was Ed.
Ed. Oh,
oh, yeah.
He was a lawyer who owned a bowling alley. Filmed in my home area in New Jersey. Right. How could I not?
I've never watched Ed. Everybody loved it. I'm one of those people that missed out on it.
I completely missed out. I watched 2 episodes when it was on originally and was not impressed and never went back, despite Michael Ian Black being on it. But I discovered it 2015 or so. And now, unfortunately, it's only available on YouTube. But he was fantastic on it.
Doesn't stream anywhere else? That's crazy.
It does not. And apparently has to do, much like WKRP, with music. Because soundtrack is amazing.
That stinks. WKRP finally negotiated all that, I think. I think that's what we spoke. The last time we spoke to the...
Yeah, it's like 85% there.
Yep.
And still say booger. Holly Marie Combs, who is Piper Halliwell from Charmed. You have people from the Doctor Who universe. Arthur Darvill. I forgot who he played in there. Rory. Garrett Dillahunt, who we love from Deadwood and Fear the Walking Dead and that Terminator show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. He's good in anything he's been in. I met him a couple of years ago at a different convention, and he's a very nice guy. Buck Rogers, Gil Gerard will be there. Aaron Gray will be there from Buck Rogers and also from Silver Spoons. You guys remember Silver Spoon?
Mm-hmm.
You and I, Jeff, sing the theme.
2 silver spoons together.
What?
And I, together.
No.
We're gonna find our way.
No. Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons.
What was I singing then?
I don't know.
Who knows? So I don't know what theme song I was singing. Space Ghost George Lowe, who is
Space Ghost,
very funny man, and can just go on a riff like you wouldn't believe. And an hour later, you're still laughing. Also, MC Chris, if you guys know MC Chris, he's MC Pee Pants in the world of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
He likes candy, bubblegum, and taffy.
Yep. I like candy, bubblegum, and taffy. Very funny, dude. And just tons and tons of people. There's a couple more I want to read. I know I'm not reading them all. And there's probably people that I'm not reading that are really famous that I don't know because I didn't watch whatever they're in. But you can go to dragoncon.org and click on people to see, and it'll tell you everybody, not just the actors, but authors and comic book artists and writers and just tons and tons of creative people. Stephen Strait was also in The Expanse. I'm going to have to go now because that became one of my favorite sci-fi shows, and I'm going to have to get the autographs. No Battlestar Galactica people that I've seen yet, but
I will, for full disclosure, point out that in keeping with a reduced size of Dragon Con, we are reducing slightly the number of celebrity guests we have.
It still looks
because
pretty
there will good, be. Though. It looks fantastic. I know I've been personally really excited, and I am making a commitment that I myself will be getting on some autograph lines this year. I'm pretty excited. You mentioned Anthony Rapp. Anthony Rapp is fantastic in Discovery. I've just discovered the new Star Trek. So I've been enjoying, I went through all of Vance and Mount's Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Absolutely adore it. So excited he's coming to Dragon Con. And I watched all of Discovery. So excited to see Anthony Rapp. But I'm watching Anthony Rapp, and I'm thinking, he looks so familiar, but I couldn't place where it was. And I realized he was from a 1999 movie called The Man of the Century. And I'm plugging his early work because we're so happy to have him at Dragon Con. And Man of the Century is an absurdist comedy about a guy in 1999 who thinks it's 1920s. And he has a phone that goes click, click, click on his desk. He's got a key... a manual typewriter, and he's out trying to, he's a reporter trying to solve crimes. Anthony Rapp is his photographer, who is a completely 1999 gay guy who's having trouble with his partner, who's played by the African-American guy from Chasing Amy, the comic book creator.
Oh, wow.
Amy. It is just one of the most brilliant movies that nobody's ever seen. And the bad guy is Frank Gorshin from the original Batman.
Wow.
So I recommend you go find this film. And I also recommend you come see Anthony Rapp at Dragon Con.
I'll have to check that out. I've never seen that movie. Now I want to watch it, especially since Frank Gorshin's in it.
Tell everybody about the updated COVID policy.
Sure. So the most important thing to remember coming to Dragon Con is that we, working with the CDC, it's completely legit. We had scientists advise us on this. We're not going as extreme as we did last year, but we think that last year's measures were absolutely the right one. We had a total reported number of 9 cases of COVID infection during Dragon Con, and I should point out, at the same time period, a relative of mine came to visit Atlanta, and she had a 100% COVID exposure rate. So we did good. We did really well. We've been part of studies based on what we did, and we're going forward, we're going to keep the masks indoors. There will be masks indoors. But there will, and if you're to having your picture taken with a celebrity, because people always ask this, even last year, if you're having your picture taken with a celebrity, you can take your mask off. The only time I had my mask off during DragonCon 2021 was when I was having my picture taken with the previously mentioned Eddie McClintock. When you're outside of the buildings, it's not going to be required. We're not requiring vaccines, and we're not requiring vaccine checks, and we're not requiring testing, because I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to stop talking before I say something stupid.
Yeah, do the celebrities party with people at night ever?
I would go ahead and say the word frequently.
Hey, good.
Would be appropriate. Probably. One of the most famous stories is a dude you were just talking about. Aaron Douglas came to Dragon Con by himself 1 year.
Okay.
And when he got back to Vancouver, he told everybody else they have to come to Dragon Con. It was the most fun he ever had. And they kind of took him up. And the next year we had, I would say, of the principal cast of Battlestar Galactica, I can't think of a single person who didn't come that year. Maybe one or two missed, but we had both Battlestar Galactica's Oscar winners, and we had everybody from Gaeta on up. And that was the first year I really got to know Richard Hatch, who unfortunately is no longer with us, but it was a great year. And somewhere along the line, Edward James Olmos was walking through the building and found a party and went in and started doing karaoke. and within, before dawn, those videos were all over the internet.
these kids. Here's my favorite, three celebrity meets a couple years ago. The late Howard Hessman, of course, and Lonnie Anderson. Got to meet them, and it was worth waiting in line to get their autograph. And of course, George Takei, who I interviewed. And then I spoke to him and said, I interviewed you. Tim, yes. But I'm glad, you know, the opportunities to meet people that you would never meet if you weren't going to a convention like Dragon Con. So.
Oh. You know, it's absolutely. And the funny thing is, I never get to meet the biggest stars usually, because I have responsibilities. But I get to meet a lot of my favorites, so that helps a lot. The folks from Venture Brothers, the folks from Mystery Science Theater 3000, some of my ultimate favorites.
I didn't get to meet Doc Hammer, but I did meet
Jackson Public.
No, not the
Benioff.
Yes, who and he's great. He was such a nice guy. That was, I think, 2015 also.
Yeah, fantastic. Everything about that show I love. Years ago, before I was a director of Dragon Con, I worked the help desk, and my daughter helped me. I went to the restroom at one point. And when I came back, my daughter's like, "Dad, I just helped Doc Hammer, and we had a conversation about 24. And I'm like, "Okay, that's a real conversation. You weren't talking about his work. You were talking about 24.
That's how long the Venture Brothers have been around. We're still waiting on that movie to come out. Can't wait.
At least it's coming out, though.
Yes. All right. Well, is there anything we left out? And let's recap when people are going to be expected to show up at Dragon Con.
It's going to be September 1st through the 5th here in Atlanta. It takes place in 5 hotels: the Sheraton, the Westin, the Hilton, the Hyatt, and the Marriott. It runs 24 hours a day. Membership, we do not sell tickets at DragonCon, we sell membership. Membership right. is available online, www.dragoncon.org. And I've been doing this so long, I still use the www. And Probably the biggest thing I want to talk about that we haven't mentioned is last year we raised $120,000 for an organization called Big Brothers Big Sisters of Atlanta.
Wow.
It's so important to me I put a cap on as a prop. This year our charity is going to be an organization called Open Hands Atlanta. And it was started by people trying to help out their friends with AIDS. And it has grown to the point where they are out there giving thousands and thousands of meals every day to people who are unable to leave their home or for other reasons they need food. And they've been doing this long before COVID. And man, they went full bore during the pandemic and took care of these people across Atlanta. And I myself have delivered with them. I know the good work they do. And we're trying to break that record we set last year with 120,000 and bring it up to 150. And it was during a year where we had half the people.
And the one thing I wanted to mention also was that there's no on-site membership sales, right? You have to purchase before you arrive.
That is correct. You do need to purchase online, which is why I kept stressing the online. And there will be no cash sales. Everything has to be done before you get to the convention.
That's a great idea, actually, because it frees people up and there's no long lines of people standing there looking to purchase memberships.
It definitely would make the line move a lot faster.
Yeah,
it will. And it will give us opportunities to expand areas for giving out badges because we no longer have to have a on-site purchase ballroom. That ballroom can handle anybody.
Badges?
Yes. Thinking badges.
Thinking. I better not do the accent. So, I wonder if there'll be any interesting folks on with Mrs. Andrews that Saturday morning. I'll have to come here to find out. No, Paul.
Well, please.
There. I know Paul will be there.
Will be there. We're already working on that. But please let Mrs. Andrews. Oh my God, I've never called her that. That sounds weird. Please let Ms. Platt know that to tell her editor to call us and we'll do whatever we can, jump over milk cartons. I don't know. Is that an expression?
Well, yeah, she'll put them out there and you'll have to jump over them. Yeah.
Before you go, I want to say thanks, Dustin, and thanks, Steph. Steph, I don't think I've seen you for like 4 years.
No, well, I always have some sort of tragedy, you know, but you're in a good little pocket for me, Dan. No tragedy this recently. So, it's a good little pocket. The one's coming, so I'm sure.
I'm going to talk about our sponsor, who is a restaurant and also has a food truck. Of course, I'm talking about Atlanta Pizza in Europe. Okay. We love Atlanta Pizza in Europe. They're our longest sponsor. They've been a fan and a sponsor of ours almost since the beginning. So I want to thank Mike Hall et al. At the restaurant. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is driving into the summer and through the summer because we have, 1.5 months of summer left with weekly food truck events, team trivia nights, catering events, and more. Go to their Facebook page to find out all the information about that. Stop by the restaurant and grab an ice cold local craft beer like Gate City Brewing's Copperhead American Ale or Athens, Georgia's own Terrapin Watermelon Gosa. Very refreshing. Tart yet thirst-quenching brew before the summertime. Atlanta Pizza in Euro loves serving the local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area, and would like to thank them for all their continued support and business throughout the years. So they are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m., Saturday from noon till 9, closed on Sunday. And the address, in case you were wondering, is 1565 Georgia, 138 Conyers, Georgia. And you can come from, you know, the east side of the west side of town. You can come from the north side, south side. Just go try them out. You will not regret it. And if you, you know, can't make it out there, just like I said, go to the Facebook page, find out where the food truck's going to be. They'll be glad that you did. Also, we have our good friend, Brett Perkins. That's his name, right, Stephanie? Brett Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I'm not an idiot. I just have Brett written here, and I remember the last name, so I'm not a dummy. Brett is awesome. He is back, and we want to tell you about his company. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? You might. You don't know. You could. And if you do, well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia, since 2005, almost 20 years, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or just email them at athens@ldiline.com.
We freebasing inquiring minds want to know.
And you must be Max.
Don't ever invite a vampire into your house, you silly boy.
Death by stereo.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach. All the damn vampires.
Well, Steph put together a game, a trivia game, and we'd love you to play with us. It'll be you, me, Jeff, and Dustin, and the prizes that you get that you win. And we're remembering. Could you just shout your name when, right, Steph? That's the rule. Shout your name. And then, but first, again, 1987, The Lost Boys. It is a classic Gen X movie. So quotable. Great soundtrack. A sweaty man playing saxophones. And a couple weeks ago, I saw online that they did a big festival. Was it some horror guy, cowboy guy, and I can't think of his name, but they did a big festival, and that saxophone guy was there playing the saxophone. You remember the guy playing
I still believe.
Yeah, that guy.
I've seen several people cosplaying him as at Dragon Con.
Well, the real guy was there, and he was playing the songs, and then they were remembering the movie. Corey Haim, rest in peace. Corey Feldman, Kiefer Sutherland, Jason Patrick, you know, looking really James Morrison-ish. Jamie Gertz. Jameson Newlander, who was Alan Frog. I don't know whatever happened to him, of course. And Diane Wiest and Ed Herman. Remember Ed Herman? Talked about it at the beginning. Alex Winter from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Mm-hmm. Bernard Hughes was Grandpa. And just quite a cast of characters. Anyway, great cast, great movie. And without any further ado, Steph, let's play our game.
And not just because this movie is so great and we love it, but the reason why, Dan, and you probably know this since you're such a big fan, that this week is the 35th anniversary of The Lost Boys. So we thought, you know, in honor of that, we would do this. And I'm so excited that you're a fan. This is just, you know, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. I watch it probably a couple times a year. So I'm going to kick it off. And what I'm going to do is I'm not going to give you guys any options first. If you know the answer, say your name. And then you can tell me the answer. If you guys can't get it, then I'll give you three choices.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Santa Carla, as we all know, is a fictional town. But the movie was filmed in the real town of Santa Cruz, which was actually called the murder capital of the world at one time due to the buttload of active serial killers in the area. Name one of the several serial killers that put Santa Cruz on the murder map.
Tim, I'm just going to guess and say the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
No.
Okay. I can't go out. No. Dan.
Dan. Zodiac?
No.
No?
Nope.
Nah, I don't know who else we got.
All right, I'll give you three choices. Okay.
Yeah. Golden State Killer.
God bless it. Okay, all right. We'll say Otis O'Toole, Ed Kemper, or Ted Bundy.
Tim. Ed Kemper.
Yes. Ed Kemper.
Now, Ed and Kemper was the inspiration for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was he not?
I think that was like a mix.
Edmund Kemper is the guy.
Ed Gein is who you were talking about.
Yeah, Ed Gein.
Ed Kemper was the co-ed killer. Okay.
No, the other ones were Herbert Mullen, John Lindley Frazier, and David Carpenter. All heavy hitters. All in Santa Cruz. All around the same time. Very, very weird time.
Crazy.
Okay, so where did Michael and Sam move from?
Oh.
Dustin. Phoenix.
Yep. Wow. Got it, Dustin.
Ooh.
The security guard that was breaking their balls at the beginning, he was the first kill. The second kill by the Lost Boys was a couple who just stole some comic books. What comic is the girlfriend reading in the car before they get munched on?
Dustin. Dracula.
Jeff.
Was it?
Blade.
Tim.
Go.
Batman.
I'll give you three choices.
Dan.
Oh, go ahead, Dan.
Morbius.
That was gonna be.
I'll give you three choices: Superman, Popeye, or Sad Sack.
Dustin, Superman.
Damn.
Jeff, Sad Sack.
Yes.
All right.
Sad Sack.
We got a three-way tie, Dan. Take this. You can take this.
Okay, the movie was directed by the great Joel Schumacher, you know, Batman and all this. But who was the original director attached?
Damn. Donner?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, bonus question. What movie did Donner direct instead of Lost Boys?
Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Superman 4?
No, this was a good movie.
Oh.
Go ahead, Dan.
Lethal Weapon.
That's it.
Oh, damn. Dan takes the lead.
I was there in the 80s. I was an adult and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What extremely famous comedic actor, writer, director was passed over for a role as a Lost Boy?
Him.
Go ahead.
Judd Apatow.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you guys three choices.
Okay.
John Cusack, Jim Carrey, Ben Stiller.
Oh, that's Dustin. Easy.
Ben Stiller.
Dustin got it first.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller.
Yep.
How many more questions do we have in this?
Just a couple.
All right.
You're only getting mad because you're not winning.
I'm not mad at all.
Okay. There are two posters of iconic 1980s actors in Sam's room. Name one of them.
Tim.
What is it?
Bruce, what's his name from the Evil Dead movie? Okay.
Dan? Arnold?
No.
Oh, Tim.
Yes.
Sylvester Stallone. These are tough questions.
They're not. They're not. One was a guy, and he was showing his abs.
Okay.
People make Dustin. Fun of it. Yes.
Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Don't, okay, yeah, that's it was, one of them.
Yeah, 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 only when you mentioned
should have known abs. Schumacher, too.
Yeah.
He had Rob Lowe, Molly Ringwald, and then there's a bonus question if you guys can tell me what movie poster was on the wall.
Dan?
Yes.
All the something horses?
No, I'll just tell you. All Reform the School Girls.
Oh.
Reform School.
What is the name and number in the series of the comic book that Sam is looking for when he first meets the Frog Brothers at their store?
Oh, Jesus.
I second Tim's facial expression.
All right. Was it Spider-Man number 47, Superman number 76, or Batman number 14?
Tim.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man one.
No.
Shit.
Dustin.
Yeah. Oh, Dustin.
It was the Superman.
No.
What was it?
Jeff Batman.
Okay. Yes.
No, yeah, because he says you can't put the Supermans with that.
Right.
That was right before that. Yeah.
Right. That's what he says. I'm looking for a Batman number 14. That's a pretty serious comic.
I'm always looking out for the other two.
So there's only five in existence.
All
right. What is the name of the head vampire Max's Hound of Hell?
Dustin.
Yes.
Thorn.
That's right.
Damn.
The music in The Lost Boys is epic, but what extremely popular rap rock song played during a very pivotal scene in the movie but did not make the soundtrack?
Rap rock?
Mm-hmm.
In 1987?
Mm-hmm. There was only like a few of them.
Tim.
Yes.
Bring the Noise with Anthrax and Public Image.
Dustin, was it Walk This Way?
It was.
Oh, you're easiest one.
And the last one. Who was the first Lost Boy to get staked? The character name.
Dustin.
Yes.
You killed Marco.
That's it. Dustin ran away with this.
Dustin, yeah.
Oh, and if anyone is curious, it is available right now on iTunes for a special of $4.99.
And it's free to watch on Tubi. It's free on Tubi.
Well, it's remastered on the new one. So it's $4.99. It looks really good.
Well, I had fun doing that, you guys. Yeah. And I would love to do it anytime you wanted to on any other movie. I would highly suggest Big Trouble in Little China. I would love to do that one.
Well, we're getting old, and so is everything else, so there's plenty just coming our way. You know?
Anyway, well, thanks for playing, Dan. I'm so glad that you participated with this and played along.
Much like my appearance on Jeopardy, I did not get completely stuck. Coming in third or fourth is still fine.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Else, we have to say goodbye to Nichelle Nichols, who was Uhuru on the original Star Trek series and in all the original TOS films. She was a great actress. She was groundbreaking. Her character was groundbreaking, and she was an overall sweet person. She was the last thing I saw her in was in Heroes, right? She was just such a wonderful person, and everybody that worked with her loved her. So rest in peace, Nichelle Nichols. She passed away at the age of 89, and that's a pretty big loss, I would say.
She was a former Dragon Con guest as well.
Yes, she was. Yep.
Views.
Or.
News.
Light and Magic's really good if you haven't checked that out on Disney Plus. It's like, you know, those shows like the movies we grew up on or whatever, those Netflix shows. It's kind of like that, but it's like all Star Wars.
Okay.
And I had no idea how much John Dykstra was responsible for so much of Star Wars, like almost as much as George Lucas himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had no idea. All right, so
poetry.
Prey is number one this week. It's definitely looking forward to that. This is the Predator prequel movie that's going to be on Hulu this week.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Looks awesome.
I loved Predators. I love any kind of Predator shit. I'll watch it.
Yeah, me too.
And this one's set in like the first time the Predators came to Earth, and it's like set in like Indian Native American times.
Mm. First Nations.
Yeah, First Nations.
Yeah, it's like 1850 or...
Yeah. So that's the views for me, Prey.
Yeah, I'm a
view. Yeah, views for sure.
All right, speaking of funny shows, Beavis and Butthead comes back this week on Paramount Plus.
That's a views for me.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's already renewed for two seasons, so it's not going to come back like just for one season.
Fantastic.
Short-lived MTV reboot that they did. That's a views for me. Okay. And third, The Sandman hits Netflix this week.
Finally.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
This is not a documentary about Adam Sandler. This is Neil Gaiman's The Sandman series.
Yeah, I'm into that. I love the comic books, so.
Yeah, and Netflix has Audible has a really good dramatization of the books.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all redone that's recently. Awesome too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm definitely a views.
That's a views for me also.
Cool. All right, well, let's thank Dan again. Thank you for being on the show. Everybody go to DragonCon.org to find out everything you need to know about DragonCon 2022, all the guests, how to get a membership, and all the fun other things that are going on downtown that weekend. It's September 1st through September 5th, so make sure you check it out. Dan, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. And if you need more information, www.dragoncon.org.
I love these. So quaint. You know? Modern quaintness is what it is.
It still works.
http://.
No. It's the mon pop store of internet.
I love it. Dustin, Jeff, and Steph, thank you, Steph. That was a fun game, so let's play more of that. If you'd like to become a member of a Radio Labyrinth Patreon page, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. You can follow us on social media. Just type Radio Labyrinth into Google. You'll find all that stuff. Most importantly, if you're watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe. And if you're not watching and you're listening, go to the YouTube page and like and subscribe. Because Dustin puts a lot of work into it and does a really good show. So, Steph, before we wrap, anything dog related that you'd like to mention?
Adopt, don't shop. You guys know that. And all the shelters in Atlanta are overflowing. I mean, just to the brim. And they're having to make decisions that they haven't had to make in a while. So if you can, especially if you're in town with the Dragon Con, you know, and you have accommodations, maybe you drove here, you can drive home with a dog because there's a crap ton of them. Or cat.
Yeah.
Fulton County Animal Shelter.
There you go. Thank you, Steph. Until next week, please remember to keep it canon.